Hey, how you doing, everybody? Hey, Matarats, how you doing? All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night, December 5th, 2021. NXT War Games is in the books. And I tell you, for a developmental brand, not too shabby, not too shabby. I want to thank you all for joining me, whether you are live. I know some of you got to get up super early tomorrow for work, for school. So we will get this done rapido. Only five matches. I think the overall highlights and what the intentions were tonight is probably the best way that we could review this pay-per-view. Did you know that Io Shirai is a chiropractor? Cora Jade tonight. Jade was paid, made, and we'll leave it like that. Did you know that there was an Evolution shirt? Evolution, Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, Ric Flair. There was an Evolution shirt. The back of the shirt said paid, laid, and made. I kid you not. Yeah, Dream 101 gets it. Tell me Cora Jade didn't knock it out of the park tonight. I mean, you could only imagine the nerves that were kicking in at 19 years old. And by the end of that night, yeah, they have a new star on the horizon. Will she feud with Mandy Rose? Maybe. Is it time? I don't know. But man, did she... reminded me of Alexa Bliss. You know, Alexa Bliss double-jointed. I think a lot of people forgot that. Cora Jade selling the shoulder injury beautifully. Io Shirai acting as if she's popping it into the socket or, yeah, pulling it back into the... Look, tonight was a great night. If you went into this event with the right mindset, you enjoyed it. Period is day. Nobody is trying to hurt NXT. No one is trying to give Triple H. It's funny. You know, we do that Red Fox impersonation the other day. Now, everybody associates with 2.0 winning as the nail in the coffin for Triple H. Let me tell you something. I want to open up with a couple of comments about tonight. Number one, Triple H should be very proud of NXT, period. No one is trying to erase his legacy. You take the time and look at how many people are on the main roster right now that came through NXT, from Roman Reigns to Sasha Banks. WWE has to prepare for the future. They have to make the stars of tomorrow. The problem you come across with a lot of people online is one thing and one thing only. They live for the now. They live for now. And WWE, it took them years before Randy Orton made it as a star, before John Cena made it as a star. Leviathan. You go down the line. It took years. Thank God OVW didn't have nationwide TV. Thank God Heartland Wrestling and Florida Championship Wrestling from years ago didn't have nationwide TV. Because a lot of those wrestlers would have never been given the opportunity to get better, to iron out the kinks, to hone their craft. Triple H has so many people that are on the main roster right now, they have to create the stars of tomorrow. There is no more OVW for WWE. There is no more Heartland Wrestling, Florida Championship Wrestling for WWE. There is no more Evolve that they could take from. You cannot go through years of just signing talent, signing talent, signing talent, signing talent, signing talent. You have to build. And look, WWE is nowhere near perfect. Creatively, they are horrendous at times. How do you screw up Keith Lee? Even though I still think it's more medical concerns than anything else. How do you screw up Karrion Kross? How do you screw up some others? You know, everybody, you know, always tries to throw in their face. And if you tuned into yesterday's show, you saw the banner with Aleister Black, Andrade, Adam Cole, Keith Lee, and Karrion Kross on it. Meanwhile, Adam Cole wanted to move on, wanted a lighter schedule, wanted to enjoy life a little bit more, maybe not work the full-time schedule as before. And I know NXT is nowhere near what the WWE main roster is, but guys, gals, let's be honest. If NXT is a developmental brand, why would you pay that kind of money for Adam Cole? Why? Why? Why would you do that? Why? Because some people on social media insist it has to be that way. So they have to build stars of tomorrow. And you're going to see, because this is the difference of 20 years ago with John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. This is the difference between now and 20 years ago. Now everything online is instant gratification. Instant. It's got to be now. We don't want to wait a year. We don't want to wait 5 years. Most of the people online that insist that it's the now and not the future, just take note of their personal surroundings. Usually, someone with their mindset in real life usually reflects in their everyday thoughts. And WWE has to resist that. They're not perfect. I'm not sticking up for them. But we have no choice, everyone. If NXT, when people keep saying, oh, they're killing Triple H, they're killing the legacy. I even think I saw Lance Storm today, right? And I respect Lance Storm's comments. Oh, this pay-per-view would have the perfect ending if 2.0 lost to the Black and Gold and then Triple H came out at the very end. What does that mean? The guys gave the rub for the stars they're trying to build for tomorrow. WWE, when AEW first became around, and Bryan Danielson just said in an interview, we talked about it yesterday, when AEW first came around, WWE signed way too many people. Way too many people. And then they realized, we don't need all these people. And we're still doing great financially. And if you notice, I didn't say WWE is kicking AEW's ass. They're not. So you think of that mindset. They have to build stars of tomorrow. NXT is the only place to do it. The guys tonight gave the younger guys the rub, legitimacy, credibility. If you want to go even further, that maybe Bron Breakker in some way got the torch passed to him a little bit. He's not heavyweight champion yet. Now, the big emotional story about today is this guy, Johnny Gargano. And I saw this tweet earlier today. Candice LeRae writes on Twitter, Johnny's entrance and his gear tonight is going to be like the end of Ghostbusters, the afterlife. Bunch of grown humans crying, it's okay, we're in this together. And NXT's response to it was, we are fully prepared to cry tonight. Not only did we get Johnny Gargano with this beautiful outfit, and I got to give a shout out to Jonathan Davenport. He is the person that actually designed this outfit for Gargano. And it, if you look at it, it's almost like a montage of all different moments, all sewn together. They even played Rebel Heart tonight for Johnny Gargano. I saw goofs that didn't give a crap about Johnny Gargano for years and years and years. But because everybody today that truly cared, that watch NXT, that are fans of NXT, that appreciated Johnny Gargano, they see that the in thing to do tonight is to show love, appreciation, interest, thanks to Johnny Gargano. Suddenly, the attitude changes. Do an advanced Twitter search before they delete all their old tweets, and you see all the insults and the garbage they threw Gargano's way. I have been a fan of Gargano for a long time. I have said it on these shows, and it truly feels like tonight, that's it. If he leaves NXT, does that mean he's leaving a sinking ship? He's leaving a toxic environment? Or maybe he's done everything he possibly can in NXT, and maybe he needs a little bit of a break. His wife is about to give birth to their child. You know, he lives the family life. See Beth Phoenix? Beth Phoenix, you saw all the tributes from WWE wrestlers, Vic Joseph, Wade Barrett, and others. All they kept talking about is Beth Phoenix wants to focus more on being a mom and being a wife and needs to take some time away. But the people out there that insist that everything about WWE is toxic, they can't accept that. Beth is leaving a sinking ship. Johnny Gargano's leaving a sinking ship. Remember what I said? Happiness, mental health, taking a step back, enjoying yourself, watching your kids grow. I mean, and this is not an insult, but take note of most of the people on social media that can't accept that, that insist that everybody is lying. Look at their marital status. Look at their status as far as a parent. You know, I understand when we have dogs and cats, that's like our kids. My dog, I still miss him every day. Every day I see his urn when I walk by my bedroom. I love that dog. It was like my kid. That's my kid. But when you're talking about humans, daughters, sons, most people out there that act like this, it's absent. It's absent. When you get the bug, the love bug, or you have kids, then you realize sometimes you need to be there. And that's what this is. Johnny Gargano, I loved that crowd reaction tonight. I love the outfit. I love the entrance. And it really does feel like tonight was the end of Johnny Gargano in NXT. And if it is next week or the week after, once we know for sure, I'll put up a couple of contests here. I have some memorabilia that I know some of you out there would enjoy. I mean, I have this one. Now, this is obviously one of many, but this is autographed by everybody on here. But do you remember what I said about a month ago? That the contest that I have done recently that had the most entries was that Johnny Gargano autographed Triple Crown plaque signed by him, showing he was the first Triple Crown winner in NXT. I have two more. One I wanted to keep for myself, and one I was going to give away. So maybe we'll give away one next week. Mike from New York says, tonight was an awesome show. 9 out of 10. Now, you know why I agree with Mike? Because when he says 9 out of 10, he's not comparing it to Raw. He's not comparing it to SmackDown. He's not comparing it to the main roster. He's not comparing it to AEW. He's not comparing it to NWA, Impact Wrestling, or anybody else. He's comparing it to a developmental brand trying to push and develop developmental stars. Now, what I was going to say earlier is when AEW first came around, WWE signed a lot of people in many cases to prevent them from going to AEW. What's happening now is WWE is signing a bunch of hungry, young wrestlers, inexperienced, ones that they think that they can mold into their own creation. And they are going to churn, and they are going to go through a lot. Let's put this aside before I accidentally hit it again. They're going to go through a lot of releases in NXT. You're going to see them sign, and you remember the mass releases from last year. I said, you watch 6 months later. I might even said it earlier this year. You watch 6 months later, they're going to sign a whole bunch of new people. Remember Las Vegas? So they are now going to sign a lot of people. And they're not going to wait 5 years to after 5 years say, Why do we keep this guy for 5 years? It's obviously not amounting to anything. Your creative is not perfect. You see someone like Karrion Kross, and I said it yesterday, and I admit it. WWE didn't know what to do with Karrion Kross, and Karrion Kross, as much as he tried, never connected with the fans. They tried to turn him into a character because everything else was not working. They didn't want him to be the methodical, almost like natural born killers, wearing the nice outfits in the car with the hot babe by his side, you know, all warped. They didn't want pop and substance and all this crazy entrance. The entrance was over. Everything else, the NXT fans, and a lot of it was WWE's fault. You remember all that frustration? Is he a face? Is he a heel? They're piping in lots of heel chants, and Karrion Kross is holding the mic to the fans so everybody could hear the cheers, fall and pray. A lot of mixed messages. So WWE's not perfect, but they're the boss, everyone. We're watching them. They're not watching us. So they have to build the stars of tomorrow, and it's going to take years. And there are many people online that won't wait years. They want it now. They want it now. They don't want to wait. And they're forced to wait. And because they don't want to wait, they create this false narrative. Oh, people I talked to in NXT said it's a horrible place to work for. What a horrible, horrible, irresponsible message to send to that roster. People that are working their asses off, trying to maybe take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad, and you got some dweeb online that says, oh, I talk to people in NXT, and they're not happy at all. Maybe those people that are not happy are the ones that are the laziest mothers in that company, or the ones that suck, or the ones that realize they see the writing on the wall. If I was every star in there, I wouldn't talk to half the people online. I give a shout-out tonight. If you want to go check it out. And I want to say something about Imperium next. Great interview online. Graham Matthews, who works for Fansided Daily DDT, did an interview with Bron Breakker. We also had Raquel Gonzalez that did an excellent interview with Wrestling Inc. Know what you notice about those interviews? Hey, Bron, who came up with the name Bron Breakker? I did. I'll read you his quote in a minute. Raquel Gonzalez. Do you miss Triple H being there? And she talks about his health issues that are keeping him away from NXT right now. You know what was missing? Hey, how is it like working there right now with all the releases? You know, with so many people unhappy in the atmosphere and this, this, and that. Hey, Bron, how terrible? What's the client? No. Do you notice the people online that do that don't get these interviews? Charlotte, for a while, canceled appearances. Why should WWE put her in a situation where you got people that are just looking for gotchas? Those Mike Johnsons are not getting the opportunities anymore. And I don't blame them. So you want to go check out the interview. I will put a link. When I go like this, you'll see a link on the replay for Graham Matthews' interview with Bron Breakker. How did they come up with the name Bron Breakker? He says, and I quote, "We were just sitting around one day, and I'm like, well, when I used to block people in football, I used to try to break them in half. That was literally what I tried to do, snap them in half and break them. What if I'm the breaker? I break people. Then it came to me. Bron is part of my first name. And that's what we went with." Remember all those people out there that said what a disgusting, horrible name that WWE came up with for Bron Breakker? And what did we say? And what did a lot of you say out there? Maybe it has to do with football. You know, why don't we wait? And we should not assume. Let's wait and see what Bron Breakker has to say about the name. As far as just calling him Rex Steiner, this is what Bron Breakker said about this. "What my dad and my uncle did before me with some of their promos and stuff that they've done They've laid all the groundwork. There's all this stuff out there for me to use if I want to. Obviously, I'm not going to bank my entire career on them. That's not what I'm going for. I want to make a name for myself and stand on my own, but there's certain things out there that we can use. They wanted to create a character that is a different name. Okay, what do we used to say about the Viking Raiders? Remember, it was the Viking Experience. Oh, the Viking Raiders, what an awful freaking name. And what did I say that night? I'd rather have an average name and get a great push in the ring. Back in the day, and I've admitted this before, when Adam Copeland first came in as Edge, I went on my wrestling hotline before I ever did a podcast, and when he first debuted, and I said, I just can't picture one day them announcing a heavyweight champion. His name is Edge. Edge what? You know, not everybody's name is perfect in the beginning. So WWE wanted to go with a different name, but the point is, Bron Breakker is the one that came up with that name, and people will spin it. Just like Shawn Michaels, we talked about it yesterday, and Shawn Michaels talks about why they have 2.0 right now. Oh, he's just lying. He's just trying to save his job. Everybody online knows better. Not everybody, but you know the fringe element out there. They've made their bend. They got to lay in it. And if you notice, they're the ones technically on the outside looking in, and they are angry. Shout out to Denise Salcedo, who got an appearance tonight on the NXT pre-show. You got to see, for the last bunch of months, the more she grows, and I never really took notice of her until earlier this year. Never really paid attention of Fightful or anything else. Started to take notice. You know what I see? People working their ass off, trying to get the spots. And you know what I see online? The people that criticize them are the ones that are bitter, lazy, and are just angry that they don't get any opportunities. They see other people getting stuff and they freaking hate it. They just want to bitch, be miserable, put everything down. It's toxic. It's negative. This, because misery loves company. And in the world that we live in, with a bad recession and COVID and all this tension in the world, a lot of people like to get together and just yell and complain and hate everything. That's what a lot of people have in common. Having fun and being popular and working hard and enjoying yourself, that's looked down upon by a lot of people. You know how many people used to get angry because I worked 3 or 4 jobs last year trying to make money and working my ass off? DT, when you used to do shows with other people, you'll only do 1 show a week and you wanted to cut it down in an hour. Well, yeah, I decided to work hard. And the more I worked hard and the more you all tuned in, the more I had fun and the more I wanted to do more. And then I said, hey, you know, I want to get married. I want to have a future. I want to do this. I want to do that. And things got blue. Things got blue. Hard work does pay off. Do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? So all this negativity that you read online, understand that for every one person that is just happy, enjoyed NXT tonight, and enjoying the stars of tomorrow, you know, there's about 9 other people that will say, oh, they're buried, it's over, it's this, it's that, leaving a sinking ship, this and that. That is what's happening right now in wrestling. I compare it to the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. Some of you out there right now are saying, what the hell is he talking about? I have always been an Ultimate Warrior fan. My former co-host, Kevin Castle, was a gigantic Ultimate Warrior fan. They came out, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. The end thing to do was to rip apart the Ultimate Warrior. He was not a saint. I still remember those speeches on stage. Queer doesn't make the world work. He grew up. He learned. He changed his views. Everybody's allowed to do that. But he was very unpopular for a while. But the end thing to do online, when that DVD came out, everybody, shit on the Warrior, shit on the Warrior, shit on the Warrior, shit on the Warrior. Never wavered. And then what happened? As years went by, family man, mingling with others, changing his views, growing, listening, learning, evolving. Suddenly, being a fan of the Warrior was a cool thing. And then I'll never forget, they teased that video game. Remember that? That commercial? Did that appearance for a WWE video game, and suddenly he beloved. And now the in thing to do was to love the guy. Right now, what you see online, that is the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD. Sooner or later, that will no longer be the popular viewpoint. And they'll be the ones on the outside looking in. And I segue to this. Guys, gals, I want you all. And look, I see a lot of love in the chat room right now for Denise. I don't think she even knows I exist, and that's cool. I'm not looking for, thank yous or anything like that. But, it's cool that a lot of you out there acknowledge, that, she works hard, and she's trying to land gigs, and, hard work pays off. And that's a good thing. And there are people out there that can't stand it. Oh, wait till you hear my New Year's resolutions for 2022. When I reveal them in about 3 weeks, if half of them happen, it's going to trigger so many people online. And believe me when I tell you, my goal is to get every single one of them to happen. But I want to get to these two guys. Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner. I have admitted before that I just never clicked with those guys. To me, bland, no charisma, no connection with the fans. Then about maybe 7 or 8 months ago, started to take notice a little bit more and a little bit more. And that NXT audience there, it's funny, tonight I saw people online being triggered because some people in the audience were cheering the heels. Oh, why are they being assholes to Cora Jade? If that was Mandy Rose that fumbled the skateboard, or Gigi Dolin, or Grayson Waller, or Tony, if it was a heel, it would be cool because you're just jeering a heel. How dare people out there cheer the bad guy? It's so fucked up. Now, look, Cora Jade at the end of the night pretty much did this to the haters out there. I'll show you. But these two guys, as the months went by, I started watching them more and more and more. I got into it. It clicked. That's what happens with wrestlers that are in the minor leagues or maybe just doing it. Damian Priest. Go back and watch Damian Priest when he first came to the main roster. Very little reaction. Go look at social media at that time. This guy's hitting 40. He didn't get anyone yet. What the bad bunny? And it clicked. Some wrestlers, it clicks. So these two guys, it clicked for me about 7-8 months ago. And then they had the match with MSK, and I said, holy freaking shit. These guys are just proved to me why they are, it's easily top five tag teams of today. And I watched them tonight have a match with Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. And by the way, if you tune into my predictions, didn't we say, I hope Von Wagner turns on Kyle O'Reilly. I hope he turns on him. I want to see Von Wagner turn on Kyle O'Reilly. And he did tonight. Wasn't successful in beating up Kyle O'Reilly, but still. But these two guys, Kyle O'Reilly is no problem. He could go with these two guys, but they made Von Wagner look hell of a lot better than Von Wagner is at this moment because Von Wagner is still fairly new. These two guys knocked it out of the park. Watching, I think it was Fabian Aichner, climb the rope, do a frog splash to the outside of the ring onto Von Wagner. I swear to you all, think I'm exaggerating. After this recap is over, or you're watching this on a replay, pause it. Go on Twitter, do an advanced search, or just type in Fabian and Aichner, Marcel Barthel. Hit search, and then list it in time order. List it in time order. You might see 30, 40 tweets after the match was over. If those two guys would have put on that performance tonight on AEW Dark, you would have had thousands of people online gushing, tweet banging, going nuts over these two guys. But because they're under the WWE banner, it is almost sacrilegious to dare call them one of the top tag teams of today. I watch people that claim they love all wrestling and they show no love. And this is not new. This happens all the time. That's what pissed me off. Benjamin, they could have written Imperium. They don't know how to spell. They could write Imperium. But you go look at the search. Look at the people out there. I'm talking about, you know, the more established names out there that love all wrestling, that are fair to everything, and no mention or almost no mention at all for these two guys. If it was AEW Dark, you would have seen something radically different. And that's what I mean. That's what I mean. When you got people, you know, and this is why so many journalists are so irresponsible in 2021. That's why I don't blame WWE for just turning down interview requests from 90% of those people. Because all you need is one established journalist to say, right now, the current vibe in the NXT locker room is unrest, uneasy. No one is happy. Everybody is on eggshells. Everybody's on thin ice. And, you know, it's a toxic environment. And some people, they're just writing on the wall, blah, 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 blah. And you paint that vibe. You talk to one, two, three people in the company. And they tell you, yeah, I'm not happy right now. Trust me. I have people that work in insurance businesses that I know. That two or three people hate their freaking job. That doesn't mean the whole office feels that way. And then you put it out there, and then the people, like blood in the water, seeing that, let me run with it. And then people that read their articles, watch their shows, listen to their shows, then they run with it. And it's not fair to these guys and everybody else who work their freaking ass off trying to make this fun, and they get no support online. Terrible. Absolutely. People are more interested about getting hits. You know, it's all about attention at the expense of a lot of these people. They tore it up tonight. And I know I'm going a little bit out of place, but Imperium retained the tag titles. Now, we don't know what the status is with Kyle O'Reilly right now. I think PW Insider reported that tonight was Kyle O'Reilly's last day with NXT. As of now, he is wrestling on Tuesday, cage match against Von Wagner. Now, when he cut that promo tonight after the match was over, when he was in the back, I was having Ric Flair Mr. Perfect vibes from Raw 1993. Remember Ric Flair? The WWF is not big enough for both of us. One of us stays, one of us goes. Woo! That's the vibe I got. So Kyle O'Reilly, maybe his contract is not up just yet. Maybe he signed a week extension. Maybe they worked out a new deal. I don't know. Kyle O'Reilly may be on his way out as well. Again, this is developmental. If you work for a posh restaurant, doesn't have to be a five-star restaurant. You work for a nice restaurant, Italian restaurant, Spanish restaurant, Mexican, French, whatever you want to choose, nice restaurant. Nothing extra, but nice restaurant. And you're working there as a cook, trying to prepare the meals. You work for one of those restaurants, you get paid nicely. Now, let's say that restaurant, you know, not getting good business, you know, has to consolidate, maybe because of the, you know, the current climate. You know, bills are too expensive. We got inflation. And now that restaurant turns into more of a diner, more of just takeout. You still want to what? But monsieur, I'm the big chef here. Monsieur, I want to still work here. Well, Francois, no offense, Francois, but, you know, we're not the five-star big restaurant we used to be. But Mansour, you have all the money. I see the tax return. You get millions and millions, the millions and millions. I still want to work here. But we're just a small diner now. So if you want to still work here, we treat you no longer a chef. You're now a cook. Mansour, fuck the Mansour stuff. You're a cook now. Kyle O'Reilly wants to stay there. He's not going to get paid the money that he might have been paid 2-3 years ago. Not just because of AEW, but because this is developmental. We're focusing on the stars of tomorrow. You want to help us build those stars, and you will get taken care of accordingly as well, fine. But you're not going to get paid the big money. You know, you see Bobby Fish signs with AEW. This person signs with AEW. This person signs with AEW. First, remember the contracts that I explained that nobody wants to tell you about. But you mean to tell me if Kyle O'Reilly goes to AEW? I know everybody suddenly is going to do this. Oh, my God, the Undisputed Era. Now we just needed Roderick Strong, and it's complete. But meanwhile, when the Undisputed Era were having 4- and 5-star matches for 4 years in NXT, they didn't give two flying you-know-whats about them. Now, because it's Tony Khan at the helm instead of someone else or under the WWE banner, suddenly it's going to be awesome. We talked about it yesterday. You know, let's see what how much Jay Lethal does on Dynamite over the next month. You know, oh, he appears once. Was it 3 weeks gone by? The big signing. WWE wants to build the stars of tomorrow. They just don't want to keep signing established names, established names, established names, established names. This is what it is. And either people won't accept it, still don't realize it, or intentionally ignoring it because it doesn't fit their agenda. If Gargano goes to AEW, he works part-time. He could game. If he wants to work elsewhere, if he wants to do cameos, if he wants to, you know, do some outside business, he can. That might be enough money for him to be content. It's none of our business how much money some of these former NXT stars are making in AEW. It's none of our business. But it is a fraction of what they were making in NXT. But when you add in Twitch money, when you add in YouTube money, when you add in being able to do autograph signings, when you add doing indie wrestling events, you put that all together, it's very close. And in some cases, it's more money than what they were making in NXT. Even if they were still a little bit less, guess what? I could sleep in my own bed 5 days a week. Christian, when Christian left WWE back in the day and went to TNA, he wanted a little break. He wanted to be able to go home at night. He wanted a lighter schedule. Was WWE a sinking ship at the time? No. He just wanted a little bit of a change, work a lighter schedule, and eventually he came back. You know, it doesn't mean that anybody that leaves right now is leaving because of Nick Khan. Or because of a toxic environment. Things have changed. The WWE landscape. They got to build the stars of tomorrow. Do you want another John Cena being shoved down our throats? Do you want another early Roman Reigns for those first 4+ years being shoved down our throats? Do you want another Seth Rollins? I'm not talking about now, but the Seth Rollins that got all of the wins and always the authority getting involved and Kane and others. Remember Corporate Kane? I mean, you want them to focus just around a couple of people because those are the only people that have been developed to become the main eventers in the company? Or do you want them to start worrying about 5 years from now and start trying to come up with maybe Bron Breakker could be the face of Raw in 3 years from now, 5 years from now? I see people out. I saw people tonight. Bron Breakker needs to win the Royal Rumble. What are you on, drugs? I love Bron Breakker. See what I mean? Living for the now and not for the future. Look at Roman Reigns for those first 4 years. A lot of people that he got to the main roster, they did the Shield, but they couldn't resist. Remember way back when I was doing the old shows and when Roman Reigns first broke out as a single star? Even within a week or two, I said, oh, they want to give him the John Cena rub. And I remember my co-host, it's legendary now, my co-host said, what do you mean the John Cena rub? He doesn't look like John Cena. He doesn't wrestle like John Cena. And I said, no, you don't understand. The John Cena rub, they want him to be the next John Cena. And it backfired. Remember The Rock holding his hand in the air? Rock, even in the ring, was like, why are these people like shitting him out of the building? I'm The Rock. Anything I touch turns to gold. Gold nugget. So this is what they're trying to do. And they are going to screw people up. WWE, no question, is going to screw people up. So, anyway. So I was saying earlier with the interviews, we talked about Graham Matthews interviewing Bron Breakker. Raquel Gonzalez talked to the Wrestling Daily. And about Triple H, she said this, and I quote, we miss Triple H a lot. And we hope that he's getting well and everything is going good with his recovery, and it's a full recovery. It's pretty weird. It's always been a part of Triple H being here. So Triple H being the peanut butter to NXT's jelly, he's never been the one person of peanut butter. We have Shawn Michaels, Matt Bloom, the Road Dogg, Scotty Armstrong, and she goes on and on. And she brings up Steve Corino. It's been a blessing having an amazing team who are positive, who kind of stepped in when Triple H had to step away for a little bit and have taken that role and been there, not only for the new talent, but as well as the talent that have been here for a while and trying to adjust to the changes. And those are some of the comments. You know, there's no controversy. And you know what's going to happen. People are going to say, oh, Raquel, come on, Raquel. We know the truth. We know, you know, you're just walking that corporate line. We get it. You know, you work for them. Something wrong with your eye? Everybody's lying, everybody. Everybody's lying. Yet for some reason, they have no connections in NXT or WWE. It's always, oh, I talked to someone. Yeah, I talked to someone in NXT today, too. And they told me you're full of shit. No, but my unnamed sources are real and yours aren't. Please. I wish I could show some of the DMs that I get on occasion. Mish sees them. I am making it up. So anyway, let's talk a little bit more about War Games tonight. Now, like I said, for me, my recaps are a lot different than a lot of others out there. I give more of, I don't want to say a sermon, but I give you my thoughts on the overall climate and what was done tonight. And what was done tonight was to help continue the development of Stars of Tomorrow. You're going to see some people that they signed recently that are not going to make it. I hate to be the one that singles out people that I don't see them lasting all that long. But maybe if I read you this tweet from NXT tonight, that kind of gives you an idea of where some of these people stand on TV. NXT, they wrote this tonight. War Games tonight has everything. An Italian guy in a velour tracksuit, a 20-year-old on a tiny skateboard, an Australian poker player, a trilingual Europeans, a tall, bald guy, a bald guy with a long beard, a guy with a shaved head, a diamond, a mind, a girl with pink hair, and Io Shirai. Everybody needs to have a gimmick, a character. Look at the grizzled young veterans. How many times did I say earlier this year that WWE is going to go the FTR route, the revival? Remember, I said they're going to have to do comedy because the grizzled young veterans have been there too long and still not over with the crowd. They've been there for a couple of years, and they still, the ratings, when we were doing the quarter hour ratings, the grizzled young veterans consistently had some of the biggest drops in the quarter hours that they appeared. Remember them, Everrise, Brizango, and a few others? You remember? That's why we did the quarter hour ratings. I know a lot of you out there, the ratings don't matter, but it does. Because when WWE says, every time we put this son of a bitch on TV, the ratings go down, 50,000, 100,000, 150,000 viewers, and in a lot of cases, they never come back. Come back! Come back! So at some point, you got to do something. After a couple of years, and I said, they're going to go to comedy routes, and now they're doing this thing. If you could cheat somebody on the street, you could cheat the referee. Soon, they'll be even more comedic. And guess what? That may work or it may not. And if they are let go, they are let go. You see some of the names that have been recently released, and they had no character. Or they came out with a gimmick. I felt bad for Shane Thorne. He had one chance to come out on a dark match, dressed up like Crocodile Dundee, but I know that, you know, the tribute and everything. But, you know, WWE's like, ain't going to work in 2021. They didn't give it a chance. But some wrestlers that are in NXT right now, you saw tonight, a lot of vignettes tonight. Oh, my God, the number of vignettes tonight. Brooks Jensen was cooking a freaking steak. Brooks Jensen cooks a steak. I don't know what his future is going to be. If he don't connect with the crowd, Brooks Jensen will be cooking steaks on Tuesday nights. Boa cut a promo tonight. Who else cut promos tonight? Casey Catanzaro and Kayden Carter. Talking about partying, hanging out, buddies, blah, 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 blah. Who else do we have tonight? I'm going down the list. Tiffany Stratton. We talked about her recently. Draco Anthony, I think his name. I mean, names that are not household names yet. And there were others. Ikemen Jiro. Remember when he first came in and I said, I'm a little concerned about Ikemen Jiro. It almost feels like he's going to get the Funaki treatment. Not just because they're from the Orient, but it just felt like, you know, more of like a comedy. Hey, I'm me, potty guy. And tonight, what was he doing? Eating pizza and ice cream, taking a dump, and farting on TakeOver. Because some people need to be the lighthearted, lovable characters. If he farts and shits during TakeOver tonight and nobody online reacts to it, you know, that's a problem. I know creatively it sounds ridiculous, but tonight what you got was a developmental pay-per-view. Not just matches. You got introductions and reintroductions to NXT stars that they're trying to develop. You have Andre Chase and you have others. This guy's a poker player. This guy is a college person. This person is this, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And some of them are not going to make it. But tonight, with all of those vignettes that we saw, I know what some of you said tonight. Wow, we could add one or two extra matches. We could add one or two extra matches. What's all of these vignettes? Welcome to developmental. You have so many people. NXT War Games tonight was trending number one on Twitter. And when you have that many eyes watching War Games tonight, that's where you take advantage. Let me introduce everybody, to Tiffany Stratton. For the people that didn't see this person before, let's introduce you. Let's show you this person. That's what it is. Get as many eyes to tune in and get take some notice of those names. Period. So, let's just run down the matches very quickly. The opening match tonight was the women's War Games, and this match was all about Cora Jade. Raquel Gonzalez stepped back from what she was doing before. I think she's main roster bound soon, maybe by Royal Rumble time. Cora Jade, this was her night. Gigi Dolan, she's got a tag title. JC Jane, she's got a tag title. Mandy Rose, she's got the heavy, the women's championship. Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, been there, done that already. Kylie Rae, trying just to establish herself again. So that leaves Cora Jade. Now, the match was kind of funny because Mandy Rose broke that streak. Every person, other than the first two that started the match, which was Dakota Kai and Kylie Rae, and by the way, I don't remember the guy's name. I think his name was John. There's another guy online. I think his name is John who designed Dakota Kai's outfit tonight. And look, I love the change with the hairstyle. Dakota Kai was freaking great tonight. And all I saw in recent times is, oh my God, she's 80 pounds wet, with wet hair. You know, like she's 80 pounds wet. We don't mean what you're thinking. But this match was about Cora Jade. But every person who entered War Games brought a weapon in. So we had Cora Jade. She brings in a weapon. Somebody brings in Singapore canes. Gigi Dolan, I forget what she brings the garbage cans in the ring. Io Shirai brings a few chairs in the ring. JC Jane brings a table in the ring. And I'm saying to myself, okay, what is Mandy Rose going to be? She brought nothing. She's like, nah, I'm heavyweight champion. I don't have to do nothing. But at one point during the match tonight, we had a spot where Cora Jade, and, you know, look, I know about the skateboard with the entrance, but later on, I honestly thought that they were chanting, use the skate. Not you can't skate. I'm talking later on in the match. Use the skate. They wanted her to use the skateboard as a weapon. But ultimately, and I tell you, for most of the match, you know who was the most over? Gigi Dolan. Ever since she debuted in NXT, I said she gives me the Paige vibes. Trust me, you go online, as each week goes by, you see more and more people saying, oh, she gives me the Paige vibes. Gigi Dolan tonight, lot of chants from the fans. Some early on were not fans of Cora Jade. How dare people cheer the heels? But Cora Jade would show them. There was one really cool moment. There was a couple, but there was one really cool moment and one very dumb moment. At one time during the match, Raquel Gonzalez took Dakota Kai and threw her in a trash can. And she started whipping around with the trash can, and she hit JC Jane with the trash can, with Dakota Kai still in. She's swinging the trash can around. That looked really cool. There was a pretty lame spot where Dakota Kai was laid out in the corner, and Io Shirai had a garbage can lid, and she was trying to place it in front of Dakota Kai's head, and she was struggling and couldn't get the lid to stay. So you see Dakota Kai just hold the lid, and the camera work was horrible on that, because it was just, and then Io Shirai goes upside down in the top turnbuckle, and everybody's oohing and aahing, and meanwhile here's Dakota Kai holding the lid. Go ahead, hit me. personally, because it was so visible, if I was Dakota Kai, I would have smashed her in the head with it. Just reverse it. But the moment tonight that everybody was talking about, we had Cora Jade. She pretty much had JC Jane on a table, and she did what looked like a senton off the top rope, put JC Jane through a table, and she sold it that she dislocated her shoulder. And she sold it beautifully. Now, you had people at ringside, suddenly all these medical attendants, just suddenly all at ringside. And basically, Io Shirai has got Cora Jade's arm. And, you know, some people online, they thought Io Shirai was turning on Cora Jade. And you have the medical attendants are like, no, no, don't do it, don't do it. And basically, it reminded me of Raven in ECW back in the 90s. Pete Dunne was doing it a lot in NXT as well. Raven, when he was feuding with Tommy Dreamer, would take Tommy Dreamer's fingers. He would grab it, and he'd go like this. Ooh, sorry. He goes like this, like pulls him apart. And it looked so great on TV, it looked like he broke his fingers. And Io Shirai playing off that she's going to pop Cora Jade's shoulder back in place. And when the minute Io Shirai pulled her arm, you hear the reaction from the crowd. Everybody bought it. Cora Jade sold it beautifully. So the entire match, the storyline was, Cora, at all costs, you do not no-sell that shoulder. And she was swinging people with a cane with one arm. At points, the suspension of disbelief was hard for the simple reason that at one point you had all four members of Team Kai, Team Dakota, and they're all very methodically walking into, like, targeting Cora Jade. Everybody else on Cora's team was knocked out for a few moments, and Cora Jade trying to Singapore caning a way out of it. And it looked a little bit, but she just kept working, and the sympathy, and because she's young, and because she's small, and because they think that she dislocated her shoulder, and it popped it back into place, she's hardcore. So who best to get the pin? None other than Cora Jade. We had fire extinguishers, we had garbage cans, we had tables, chairs. But what ends up happening is there was also another point that some people thought Kaylee Ray was going to turn on Cora Jade. That Kaylee Ray was methodically walking towards Cora Jade. She had a Singapore cane in her hand. Everybody thought she was going to hit Cora with it, but instead gave her the cane instead. But what ends up happening is Raquel hits a powerbomb on JC Jane. So Cora Jade just happened to be sitting on the mat, and she sees JC Jane knocked out. And she's like, oh shit. And she fruit roll-ups JC Jane and gets the win. Crowd at the beginning, I could only imagine all the butterflies and the nerves on Cora Jade. By the end of that match, she was made. That match was about her. So, did a phenomenal job. Again, this is developmental. People out there were trying to critique this match as if it's main roster. Can you just imagine? I hate using sports analogies. Could you imagine? You know, you like the Braves, the Astros, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox. And then you go and you watch a AAA minor league game or a AA minor league game. And you got some people that are not ready for prime time yet, but they have their moments here and there. And then they botch a play, and then they're critiquing them as if they're on the major leagues already. And it's just, I watched that tonight, and I'm saying, bro, honey, to the people out there that were doing that, stop judging NXT because you miss Adam Cole in it, because you miss Karrion Kross in it, because you're going to miss Gargano in it, because Andrade's no longer there, because it is, it's not that freaking NXT anymore. That's like that movie, The Fan. Remember the movie, The Fan, with Robert De Niro and Pookie? Remember Pookie? Come on, I thought we were friends. I thought we were pals. Remember Robert De Niro with Pookie? No, Pookie is New Jack City. What was the guy's name? What was his friend's name in The Fan? And he just wanted to play catch with him. He's like, I thought we were friends. We thought we were pals. And the guy tells Robert De Niro, that was kindergarten. And Robert De Niro just whacks him. What was his name? I don't remember his name. That's what these people are tonight. They're judging NXT as if it's still, you know, the black and gold, the third brand. No one remembers the guy's name. It's not Pookie. Pookie was Chris Rock in New Jack City. Can't remember his name right now. Someone will remember. Shout out to someone's going to Google it. But anyway, so Team Raquel gets the win. Now, I will be honest with you. When Raquel Gonzalez got the win, Team Raquel, I got worried. I said, ah, shit. Black and gold ain't winning this tonight. There is no way that the baby faces were winning both War Games matches tonight. Richard Adams, I know Wesley Snipes was in the movie. Robert De Niro did not whack Wesley Snipes. They don't know, everybody. They don't know. That was a good movie, man. That's an underrated movie, The Fan. If you've never watched the movie The Fan with Wesley Snipes, Robert De Niro. No, was it Gil? Gil is, I'm sorry, everybody. Everyone, the people online, they're Googling. And there I know, is the guy that Robert De Niro whacked, his name was Gil. No, that was Robert De Niro's name. Anyway. So we move on to the next match. And as we said earlier, I'll just shout out who the person that gets it right. Imperium retained the tag titles, beating Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly. Excellent match. Excellent match. Shout out to the chat room. You're trying. You're trying. Von Wagner, I've said it. He's perfect for a horror film. Too bad WWE Films is not doing horror films anymore. He'd be perfect. If you remember that 1981 movie, I think it was, I think that was the year Mother's Day. Remember the two whacked out sons? Remember the Big Bird alarm clock? Hey, time to get up. He looks like one of the sons that could be a psycho in the movie. They pushed him today. And it's obvious Von Wagner is not ready. He had that little cameo standing alongside Adam Pearce on SmackDown, and they're like, not yet. Not yet. They made him look great tonight. And look, Imperium had been around a little bit longer than Von Wagner. People still aren't getting it right, the movie. They're naming all the characters except for Robert De Niro's pal that he killed. Shame on you. Von Wagner is not ready for prime time, but tonight he did a damn good job. And in defeat, I will admit this. It looked a little bit messy. After Imperium got the win, and again, you had Kyle O'Reilly at the end of the match with an armbar submission to Fabian. Oh, Rolo 555. He got it. Coop. I knew it was something like Pookie, Poop, like something. Coop. That was his name. Coop. I thought we were friends. I thought we were pals. I thought we were buddies. That was kindergarten. That's what these people are online right now. NXT is the third brand. It's the AEW. Yeah, it's a couple of years ago, pals. So anyway, you had Kyle O'Reilly with an arm submission, armbar on Fabian Aichner, and freaking Fabian Aichner picks him up with one arm, dead weight, picks him up and drops him. And then they hit the Imperial Bomb for the win. So now the fans thinking that this is Kyle O'Reilly's last match in NXT, Kyle is soaking in the accolades. Now, Von Wagner was standing behind Kyle O'Reilly, and if you watched it, you knew something was happening because Kyle, trying to get to the attention, and Richard, I'll answer your question. It'll pop up on the screen, but I'll answer it right after I talk about this. Von Wagner is standing behind Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle O'Reilly's getting, you know, the thank yous from the crowd. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. And if you look at Kyle O'Reilly, he's like, man, man. Hey, like trying to like set him up in position. And you see it clear on, he's like, yeah. And Von Wagner, if you watch, he looks like he's getting in position. And right there, you're like, ah, this guy's going to turn on him. But we got a little twist. As we did in a prediction, I said, Von Wagner, I hope he turns on Kyle O'Reilly. He did. The only problem is he went to clothesline Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle O'Reilly ducked, hit him with a knee, hit him with a couple of moves, knocked Von Wagner on his ass, and Kyle O'Reilly is still standing. And I thought if Kyle O'Reilly goes out tonight, pretty cool that he didn't have to get laid out, put out on a stretcher, whatever it was with Von Wagner. Now, everybody, yes, Kyle O'Reilly tonight did the Undisputed Era sign with his hands. And look, it's a shout out. It's a tribute to his buddies. You know, I mean, how many times do we see Finn Balor doing the, you know, this almost like the Wolfpack for his buddies from Bullet Club? And he was in WWE. I think people want drama and controversy. It was not a big deal. Kyle O'Reilly had a great match tonight. He's had a nice run in NXT. Was he ever destined to be a main eventer? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, maybe that changes down the line. But, you know, for people fantasizing, oh, that's the third piece of the Undisputed Era. He's going to be in AEW. He's all elite. What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to leapfrog the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega? You think he's going to leapfrog the Four Pillars? You think he's going to leapfrog about 10, 15 people on there? He's going to have a match. He's going to have one on Rampage. Maybe it's a trios match with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. They may win one. They'll take on Best Friends and win the Best Friends match, but they'll lose to the Super Elite. Oh, it's not the Super Elite. The, what was the team I was going to say? Oh, shit. Drawing a blank. Jurassic Express. You know, I mean, you get a win here, win there, and it'll be a nice tweet. Oh, my God, look, 3/4 of the Undisputed Era in AEW. I can't believe it. And what, they wrestle 2 times in a month? And then most of their wins are padded because they're on AEW Dark, and they're taking on John Fleming and Jose Luis Giacomo, you're like, and Lee Johnson? Come on. You know, when with all due respect to Tony Khan, when you say, oh, well, Adam Cole is featured more in front of more fans in AEW, I'll take this Adam Cole than having the Young Bucks kissing him on the cheek, having a novelty match with Christian Jungle Boy and a dinosaur. Nothing against Luchasaurus. Don't tell me what I liked more than others. You know, that's the pleasure about being wrestling fans. You can like promotions, wrestlers, styles, a lot different than me. You know, don't judge me. I don't judge you. Don't tell me just because of a statistical that's why it's better. There's a lot of off-Broadway plays that are 10 times better than Broadway plays. But because the Broadway play has more attention, that the Broadway play by default is better on drugs? I think I said that earlier tonight. So Imperium gets the win. Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly have the cage match Tuesday, and we will see what happens. Now, before we go any further, I had a super chat come in. Thank you very much, my friend. Richard Adams. Do I think Rob Van Dam is MSK's shaman? Shaman, Some people pronounce it differently. I almost feel by default it has to be him. You look at MSK's style and you look at somebody that they would look up to. You know, I don't want to say like it's Bill and Ted stuff, but it feels like Bill and Ted's Adventures. Like you almost feel like RVD would be the shaman. You know, just I could see it. I absolutely could see it. We will know Tuesday. He will be revealed. Or she, but I think it's a he, will be revealed. Some people think it's going to be Elias. Be interesting. Be very interesting. I would have no problem if it's RVD. Why not? RVD gets a little cameo for a little while. Helps give a little name value in NXT. A little rub. A little guidance. Why not? Why not? They're not going to have him wrestle for the title. They're going to put him in main event. You know, I mean, you look at how Sting is utilized in AEW. Why not bring someone in from yesteryear that a lot of people absolutely love and cherish? I think RVD would be a great choice. Harris says Joey Numbers would be a shaman. Joey Numbers is not a bad pick. Joey Numbers could be my shaman. Whenever I say shaman, I think of the toilet tape paper. Charmin? Charmin. Yeah, tomorrow I'll have my Charmin in the morning. I'll be wiping my butt. Shout out to Nero Fay. Much love, my friend. Starts chemo next week. You'll kick its ass, my friend. You'll kick its ass. And, you know, I'm sure you heard that I have to go for an angiogram. They found something up with my heart. For people out there that think that I'm just making it up for tweet attention, I actually recorded my doctor. I had the phone under the table because I said, whatever the outcome is, I'm going to document it and share it with everybody. And unfortunately, when I hear the doctor say, oop, there's a problem. I didn't want to hear that. We don't have to talk about that tonight. But yeah, I think RVD is an excellent choice. I tell you, a lot of people thought John Morrison would have been perfect. If they didn't let him go, John Morrison would have been freaking perfect. The guy could still do it. So, you know, some people say RVD, some people say Elias. Richard Adams says that RVD is under contract since he went into the Hall of Fame. That's possible. That's possible. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So, by the way, next NXT big event, New Year's Evil, January 4th, 2022. We do not have any matches yet. A lot of people that think that that might be Breaker's night to become heavyweight champion. New Year's Evil. So mark that on your calendars. We are a little less than a month away for that. Legado del Fantasma. They had a vignette, then they had a little interview segment on Tuesday also. It's going to be Zion Quinn versus Santos Escobar. Little rub for Zion Quinn, even though I think Santos Escobar may be taking that one. Tonight, after the show's over, I'm going to go check out Ruthless Aggression 2. That's on Peacock. They had a commercial for that tonight. Looked very enticing. So getting back to the matches, next on the list, and I got to be honest with you all. I was a little disappointed in this match. It didn't have the tension and the heat that I expected it to have. Now, the outcome, I think, was pretty obvious, especially after Tuesday's NXT. We talked about it yesterday. If you shave all the hair off of Cameron Grimes, he looks like a stunt double for Harland without the tattoos. If you remember the movie Spaceballs, remember when they did the stunt doubles? And I think, what's her name? Oh, shit. Joan Rivers. Remember the stunt double for Joan Rivers? Didn't he have like a mustache or something? Like Cameron Grimes without the hair would be like the low-budget stunt double for Harland. His career would have been over. His NXT career would have been suicide if Cameron Grimes lost all that hair. Duke Hudson, we don't know if he's going to lose the beard, but this match seemed rushed. It didn't have that tension that I was hoping it would have. But in the end, pretty much out of nowhere, we had Cameron Grimes with the fruit roll-up, grabbing the tights, getting the win. And we thought right at that point, Cameron Grimes was going to shave Duke Hudson's head bald. But instead, Duke Hudson basically lays out Cameron Grimes. And then Duke Hudson grabs the clippers, and now we're thinking, oh, shit, he may actually cut Cameron Grimes' hair. How many websites out there told you for months that Cameron Grimes was getting a complete makeover? Complete makeover. Not just yet. I have never talked about that. You know, I don't know how you give this guy a makeover. You know, I mean, he just wouldn't look right, you know, without the hair. So Duke Hudson is about to cut Cameron Grimes' hair. Grimes hits him with the cave-in. Duke Hudson is knocked loopy. And Cameron Grimes cuts his hair. And if you notice, it's not going to look that much different. And I would not be surprised if they do something like what they did with Kurt Angle. Maybe he comes out wearing a wig. And then maybe Cameron Grimes pulls the wig off. Or somebody at Duke Hudson faces pulls the wig off. I agree with you, Darren. The match had very little heat. I mean, we knew the outcome, but it was a little disappointing. I mean, and Duke Hudson ran out of the ring so quickly once Cameron Grimes started cutting his hair. It was a little lackluster, to be honest with you. In fact, look, we only have 5 matches to choose from. My most favorite and my least favorite. I think, well, you know what? I don't know if this is my least favorite match because there was another match tonight that was very disappointing, and it was this one. Joe Gacy, and if you remember my predictions Wednesday, I said Roderick Strong is going to retain it, but I wanted to go with Joe Gacy for the simple reason I wanted Joe Gacy to win this. Nothing against Roderick Strong. I like certain elements of Diamond Mine. Ivy Nile is my favorite, and I've been praising Ivy Nile since the signing. And that is still a project being developed by WWE. But this match was very bland. Hauling outside the ring was a nice, fun little element. But in the end, I mean, it almost felt just sudden, too sudden. I mean, out of nowhere, you know, Roderick Strong gets the pin. I'm like, that's it? And you got Holland just staring right through Diamond Mind and Joe Gacy's outside the ring. This match just fell flat for me. I like Roderick Strong. But they're trying to, you know, NXT, WWE's trying to make chicken shit out of chicken salad. And Diamond Mind is just not doing it for me. Again, there's certain elements of Diamond Mind that I like. But as a whole, Roderick Strong being a leader, it's just, I don't know. They did that. See, that's the thing that's funny. If you look at Isaiah Swerve Scott, when he had the North American Championship, he did nothing. He did nothing with the belt. Zero. Nothing. I mean, he had it for months. Did nothing. And all people kept talking about was hit row. And I liked hit row. I gave it my praise. But nobody took a step back and said, hey, what's going on with the belt? When is this guy going to actually, what did he have, one match with it? So I just thought that this match, I mean, honestly, because I expected more in this match and the way it ended, I don't know, man. This and hair versus hair are my two that are at the bottom of the list. But now we get to the main event. And look, we already talked a lot about this match. Team 2.0 beats Team Black and Gold. This is not the final nail for Triple H. This is not anything devious, you know, by WWE. They're trying to build stars. Ciampa didn't need to win tonight. He's gotten plenty of wins in the past. Gargano, sure, fairy tale. You go out winning, you go out on top. But how many wrestlers over the years, when they're on their way out, they put other people over? Huh? Any of you out there that are fans of Jim Cornette's podcast, if you had a dollar every time Jim Cornette has talked about in the past, you're leaving a territory, you're leaving a promotion, you give back on the way out. So sure, everybody wants the happy ending. Gargano goes out with a win. No. These guys, these young guys, I wanted Black and Gold to win. But as soon as Raquel's team got the win earlier, I talked to people on like, oh shit, the babyface are not winning both matches. There ain't no way. So you look at that, does Pete Dunne lose anything tonight? No. Guys, gals, NXT TakeOver matches from yesteryear. Team McAfee. Any of those guys really lost any credibility in that match? No. So please, spare me because 2.0 won tonight. That's it. The NXT that we knew was dead. Should it be alive and then have 40-year-olds that can't draw 800,000? And you just keep blaming on creative. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, before Triple H's health problems, was doing NXT for a couple of years. Yet they couldn't get 1 million viewers. Why was that? Nobody said Vince and Bruce Pritchard were the ones in charge up until a couple of months ago. So, hey, Triple H, with all due respect, for a couple of years, you couldn't get viewers. You had Breezango main eventing, 500,000 viewers. So if you could only get 500,000-700,000 viewers, why would you do that with a grossly high payroll? Or you take that money and you start building the stars of tomorrow. Because Roman Reigns may not be on the roster 5 years from now. Seth Rollins may not be on the roster 5 years from now. I mean, a lot of wrestlers that are making them big money right now may not be on the wrestler for, on the roster for various reasons. So what do? You have somebody who's 40 now become 45 in 5 years and expect them to pick up the ball? You can't just sign free agents and get through that. Look at all the Hall of Famers or the wrestlers now that have had Hall of Fame careers. Look at all of the wrestlers that have had Hall of Fame careers, with the exception of maybe Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and a few, because they were Hall of Famers before they went to WWE. But when you go from Jeff Hardy Christian, to Matt Hardy, to Edge, to Randy Orton. I'm talking about active wrestlers still. They all got their fame and they got their notoriety coming up in the leagues of WWE. They came up in the WWE. Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy had the luxury of being on the main roster. You know, and sure, there were blips that they were let go and brought back. But the point is, you know, who's the Hardys of tomorrow? Who's the Randy Orton of tomorrow? You know, I'm not saying The Rock on that level, but who are the ones? Because 20 years ago, you had people being developed. Some were on the main roster and some weren't. So, you know, please, when people keep saying to you that the NXT that we knew is gone, you know what your response should be? Good. Good. Because you have to develop. You have to create stars. Good. Good. Nobody wants change. Nobody wants change. Look at the WWE Network. Sure, Peacock kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, the WWE Network, you know, nobody wanted it to go to Peacock. Now, for the most part, what I want to watch, I could watch. But still, you know, nobody wants change. Sometimes, to quote a famous movie, change is good. This match tonight was all about giving a rub to 2.0. We opened up the match with Carmelo Hayes and Johnny Gargano. You could see in Johnny's eyes, this is it. Johnny Gargano is about to become a dad. He wants to dial it back a little bit. He's done everything he possibly could in NXT, and NXT is rebuilding. So Johnny Gargano, I'm sure they're going to offer him a contract. It's not going to be what it once was. And Johnny Gargano has to make a decision. Personally, as much as I don't want to see Johnny Gargano leave NXT, it might be the best for him at this particular moment. He doesn't want to go to the main roster. That's already been discussed. You know, when you see wrestlers over the years say they don't want to go to the main roster, like Ciampa and others, okay, at some point, you're no longer fitting in the NXT mantra, or you no longer could be paid in the category you expect to be paid. So a decision needs to be made sooner or later. So we had Johnny Gargano and Carmelo Hayes started off, and their 5 minutes pretty much was just straight up chain wrestling. And it was fun. Crowd was chanting Johnny Wrestling. Crowd loved it. You know, seeing Carmelo Hayes and Gargano go at it was a lot of fun. It didn't feel like war games. It just felt like straight up wrestling, but that's fine. That's fine. Grayson Waller comes out next for the advantage. Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano working together. Hey, at some point tonight we had Pete Dunne smiling, Gargano smiling, Ciampa smiling. LA Knight. LA Knight deserves a lot of praise for this match as well. LA Knight did a great freaking job tonight. Great freaking job. Harris says 30 NXT rookies, 8 NXT pros, one dream. A little dramatic, but yeah, okay, fine. Tony D'Angelo. Hey, how you doing? Tony D'Angelo next. He brings a bunch of Singapore Canes in the ring. He's got Trick Williams helping him bring some tables in the ring. And it was funny at one point that Trick Williams is trying to take things out from underneath the ring. And he goes to grab something, and he looks on his face like, something's not right here. And next thing you know, his body gets pulled underneath the ring. And who is it? It's Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis comes out from under the ring. Crowd pops. He turns around, gives Johnny Gargano the thumb, and he chases Trick Williams away. CB3 is asking, where is Velveteen Dream right now? He's probably in his house sleeping. It is 12:30 in the morning. I always do that. I've been doing that since 97. When somebody asks late at night, where is so-and-so, I usually say, probably in the hotel room. It's late. Tony D'Angelo. And I know some people are going to turn this into a wrestle crap moment. It's not deserving. Tony D'Angelo takes a chain. He wraps it around the chain door and locks it so nobody could get in. So when it's Team Ciampa's turn and LA Knight comes down to the ring, LA Knight realizes he can't get into the cage. So he goes to the opposite side where, in storyline, none of the heels were in that other ring. He climbs the cage and he enters that way. And he's clean and freaking house, taking everybody out. So a little bit later on, Bron Breakker, it's his time to enter. Because the last two to enter was Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa. One follower saying, my boy looks good. Tony D'Angelo's not my boy, but Tony D'Angelo did look good tonight, put on a great performance. You know, again, for those out there that are saying, oh, put a title on him, put this, go look and see how many matches he's had in his career. It is so freaking early. Again, you know, I watched people when he debuted. That's it. That's it. Next champion. I'm like, guy hasn't even wrestled 5 matches in his life, and you're already giving him a title? Those people, you do not want anywhere near your wrestling promotion. Seriously. Unless they clean up the cups after the show. So Braun, and again, I hope nobody turns it into a wrestle crap moment. Braun Breaker comes down to ringside, and he's got like cutters, you know, like to cut a chain, the big red cutters, you know, they cut like padlocks, and the officials are trying to cut the lock, cut the chain, and Braun Breaker's like, no, let me do it. Now, obviously, we weren't going to get the Kane moment where Braun Breaker just rips the door off the hinges, but he goes and he tries to cut the chain. And he had a problem. First time it didn't cut across. The bolt cutters. Thank you, Sam. Bolt cutters. He goes and cuts the chain. No snip. And that chain almost looked like the chain that you hang like a chandelier. It's like coated, but it's easy to cut. And he's struggling. Dish. He can't get it. And he finally gets it. Again, it's not a wrestle crap moment, but there was a little funniness to it. What was that moment on WWE TV? Wasn't there a cage match and somebody was struggling, trying to... Oh, was it Mark Henry or Paul or Big Show Paul White shaking the cage, trying to rip it off the cage, and it just kept shaking and shaking. What was that? Someone in the chat room. I know you had problems with the movie The Fan earlier. All right, Harris got it immediately. And one fall, Mark Henry, SmackDown 2005. Oh, my God. Oh, for you out there that have been asking about the vintage shows, yesterday, we talked about 15 years ago what the wrestling or Blackheart Awards was like. And in a couple of days, let me take this down. In a couple of days, I am going to be posting this episode online. So yesterday, we talked about the categories for 15 years ago. We're going to post this episode so you could see 15 years ago what we were talking about in wrestling. But I promise you this. I have my podcast for when we covered Mark Henry on that SmackDown, and he just shaking the cage. I could only imagine what he was thinking at that time. And just if you've never seen it, everyone, I promise you, go to sleep tonight. Watch this before you go to sleep. I promise you, you go to sleep with a smile on your face. If you can't get sex tonight before you go to sleep, I promise this is the next big thing. Just go Google or go on YouTube and type Mark Henry Cage SmackDown 2005. It was that, I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that. I felt bad for him, but I couldn't stop laughing. I am the chain. That was tonight. But Braun Breaker finally cuts it. Ciampa comes in last. And for a while, we had Ciampa and Gargano working together. A lot of DIY chants. Tonight was Beth Phoenix's last night. Again, no controversy. Wants to be with her family more. Do a little country music in the process. And by the way, I finally heard that track that everybody was telling me to tune in. She's got an awesome voice. I mean, it's sure. I mean, the studio enhances it. But my God, I guarantee there's a lot of people who still have no idea that Beth Phoenix just came out with a country music song. She's pretty good. So she wants to take a step back. No controversy. In fact, remember what we said last Monday? I think we're going to get Miz and Maryse versus Edge and Beth Phoenix. I think that match is coming. So at this point, we got the crowd chanting, this is awesome. DIY working together. At this point, Pete Dunne shares a smile. Ciampa shares a smile. Then we start getting the spots that are going to close the night out. Ciampa tries to put Grayson Waller through a table. Tony D'Angelo stops him. Waller tries to splash Ciampa through a table, but this is where LA Knight just started kicking it. I mean, he literally, if you remember vintage Kurt Angle, when he would just run up to the top rope, I think Shelton has done it many times. He just runs to the top rope and just dumps Waller off the top rope, throws him through the table. Crowd is chanting, holy shit. Later on, we have Carmelo Hayes sitting on the top turnbuckle. Gargano and Pete Dunne try to suplex him, but Breaker and D'Angelo interrupt it. And they suplex Gargano and Dunne, who is still holding on to Carmelo Hayes. So you got five men going down. Crowd is eating it up. When they go down, LA Knight almost steals the pin, tries to pin Carmelo Hayes. Bron Breakker breaks it up. Later on, we had LA Knight just repeatedly smashing Bron Breakker's head into the cage, and Breakker was a freaking heel tonight. The crowd, because of Gargano more than anything, that crowd was really behind Ciampa's team. It was a little bizarro land to see Breakker, and Breakker embraced it, man. He freaking embraced it. It was fun. The match was all fun. So LA Knight is just throwing Breaker's head into the cage. Tony D'Angelo finally stops it. We got Ciampa with garbage pail shots to Bron Breakker. Stiff spot where Ciampa picks up Breakker, throws him off the middle rope, back first into a garbage can in the ring. Looked pretty stiff for a two count. Tony D'Angelo eventually takes out LA Knight. He sets up a table. A Grayson Waller with a beautiful elbow off the top of the freaking cage and puts LA Knight through the table. Tony D'Angelo goes for the pin. Pete Dunne breaks it up. And then we get the crowbar spot where Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo are going at it. Tony D'Angelo takes the mouthpiece off of Pete Dunne, out of Pete Dunne's mouth, puts the crowbar in his mouth and does almost like a stunner, you know, almost like a neck breaker. With the crowbar in hand, off the middle rope, crowd is chanting, holy shit. Tell you, everybody did great in this match. Gargano's nose was busted up a little bit. So I think he also was having a little bit of issue with his knee or his ankle at some point in the match. So at the very end, we got Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa trading blows, and everybody else is pretty much laid out. Bron Breakker hits a Frankensteiner on Ciampa, and out of nowhere, here comes Johnny Gargano again. And they hit he hits the one final beat on Bron Breakker. DIY, both nail the knees to Breaker's head, but just a two count, Carmelo Hayes pulls the referee off the pin attempt. Everybody and their mother, including me, thought the match was over. The camera angle and the timing that Carmelo Hayes had pulling the referee off the pin was, I don't think it could have been any better. I mean, it was that freaking good. And the match continues. But unfortunately, Hayes with a thumb to Ciampa's eye, low blow to Gargano. Now you're starting to realize, okay, match is coming to an end. We have a table stood up in the corner. After Hayes gives the low blow to Gargano, Gargano is right next to Hayes. He grabs Hayes suddenly, and Hayes has nowhere to go. And Ciampa goes and nails Hayes, but Gargano gets the most of it, which pretty much, you know, writes off Gargano in the match. Ciampa goes for the fairy tale ending on Carmelo Hayes, but Bron Breakker spears, gets Ciampa and spears him through a table. So now Ciampa is laid out in the corner. Crowd is booing. At the top of their lungs, and Breaker with the pow slam and gets the win. And Team 2.0 defeats Team Ciampa, Team Black and Gold. Again, nothing is buried. Nothing is dead. And again, if I was Triple H, I'd be very proud at what is going on tonight. We have stars being built for tomorrow. Pete Dunne does not lose any stock. Nobody lost stock tonight. So in the process, some additional people graduated to the next level. Cora Jade made, paid, and we'll leave it at that. Tony D'Angelo did a great job tonight. Grayson Waller did a great job. That elbow, I mean, Carmelo Hayes, everybody did a great job tonight. Nobody got buried tonight. Nobody took any steps back. If it ends up being Johnny Gargano's last night in NXT, thank you. If Kyle O'Reilly's career in NXT is coming to an end, thank you. And whatever they do from this point forward, if we were fans of their work, we support them along the way. The selfish wrestling fan in me hopes they sign with AEW or Impact Wrestling or MLW. Sign with a company that we could still see them wrestle on TV. Because I enjoy watching their social media posts. I enjoy seeing their little personal updates. I enjoy the little segments that they do outside of wrestling. But we're wrestling fans. We want to see them in the squared circle. So wherever they decide to go, I hope it's for a company with TV so we could still enjoy them. They're not leaving to bury WWE. They're not leaving a sinking ship. They're not leaving a toxic environment. Whatever they decide to do, just like it's only business with WWE, it's business for them as well. It's their livelihood. It's their mental health. It's their personal, social, whatever reasons that they decide. And believe me, yes, like Beth Phoenix, if you are married and you have kids and you're getting older and you're missing watching your kids grow, go to school, the little things, when she says that those are the reasons why she's leaving, it's not always nefarious. People out there will insist to you that she's lying. You know, when Raquel Gonzalez talks about Triple H, he's out right now, health issues, he'll be back. There's nothing nefarious in that segment, in that interview. Bron Breakker, he's the one that came up with that name. Well, WWE forced him to change it, so that's the name he came up with. So, you know, there's nothing nefarious behind it. Everybody always insists that there's got to be a tabloid or hate or heat or friction or competition or animosity or some nefarious reason behind it. So this pay-per-view, well, I don't really call it a pay-per-view. I mean, it's developmental, but NXT War Games tonight was excellent. 5 matches, about 3 hours, and for developmental territory, it delivered. If you compare it to Raw, SmackDown, AEW, nowhere near on that level. But on a scale of 1 to 10, for developmental rankings, I give it an 8.5 out of 10. The only reason why I wouldn't give it more is because a lot of vignettes used to introduce us of some up-and-comers that a lot of people tonight probably had never seen before. So that ate up a lot of time. I didn't need to see a segment with Charlotte. I didn't need to see a segment about WrestleMania tickets. I understand it's Christmas, but I didn't need to see a segment about some other things that had nothing to do with NXT. But I give it an 8.5. My favorite match tonight was the men's War Games. Not even close. Imperium's match with Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly was a lot better than I expected it to be. Just for the Wagner wild card of it. The least favorite match tonight, I got to be honest with you, I got to go. I got to go with the hair versus hair match. It just felt flat for me. Roderick Strong and Joe Gacy was not that great too. But the difference is when you're to the point where it's hair versus hair, you don't feel that tension. You don't feel that heat. And it just felt like a regular match that someone just so happened was going to lose their hair. It just felt the matter of fact. And to me, that was my least favorite match of the night. So anyway, let me know what your favorite match and least favorite match of the night was. Post it in the comment section. If you haven't done so already, check out last night's episode of the Don Tony Show. We had a ball. I mean, it was one of the all the shows I do are fun, but that was one of the easiest shows that I have ever recorded. I had no notes in front of me, just some statistics about video sales with WWE in the past. We reminisced about back in the day, you know, like just anticipating getting that DVD in the mail that, you know, you pre-ordered or video game. It was just fabulous yesterday. And we talked a lot about the current state of wrestling and a few other very important topics. So yesterday was just, it's easy listening and you will have a ball. You will really enjoy last night's episode. So tomorrow night, I will be here live with Mish at 11:05 p.m. Eastern for Breakfast Soup Raw. We will cover Raw and any news that transpires tomorrow. There is one or two topics I definitely want to get into with him. I don't want to reveal what the topics are right now, but I promise you it's a little controversial. One has to do with a certain female in AEW that has been given a lot of criticism lately, and the response that was given was just really, I'll leave it at that. I want to talk about it with Mish tomorrow. I think it'll be an interesting debate for us to have. I know some of you could probably figure out. We don't have the Rampage rating yet, Sam. The overnight rating is in, so we will have the winner of the contest from yesterday. Well, actually, no, that was from Wednesday. So we will have the Rampage ratings winner tomorrow and whatever else we want to get into. So what was the prize for that? That was the Charlie doll, the Charlotte Flair doll, the Lily and the Charlie doll, right? So let me know what you thought about tonight's pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. And again, if you go into NXT now with the right mindset, understanding what it is, stop being in denial and stop trying to make everything nefarious, I really believe you will enjoy it a lot more than how it's perceived. You know, it was a pretty good show tonight, and I think Tuesday will just continue. And then next thing you know, they're going to be building for New Year's Evil, which I think will be a really fun show. And that's it. I'm out of here. Everyone, much love. Thank you, as always, for the support. I'll see you Monday night at 11:05 p.m. Take care, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.